morning, if you'll take your Bible, we'll be reading from Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. And we're continuing. I think this is our third message, a little series entitled Moments with the Master. We're looking this morning at, I think, a familiar story, one I have used other times over the years concerning this person that is listed or mentioned here in the Scripture as the rich young ruler. And he comes to Jesus, and he's much like Nicodemus from last week's study. And Nicodemus wanted to know about being born again. And Jesus talked to him and told him about it. And this morning we have a rich young ruler that comes, and I'm calling this a tragic moment. I don't know about Nicodemus, but I do know pretty much about this rich young ruler that when he left the presence of the Lord, he left eternally lost and perhaps stayed that way because he's never mentioned again in the Scripture as coming to know Christ as his Savior. Never mentioned again, period. Now, he is mentioned in all three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we find it interesting that he comes to Christ, and he's a young man, a rich young ruler. I'm calling this a tragic moment because most of the recorded incidents where people came to Christ, they left rejoicing. Maybe he gave hearing to the deaf, or sight to the blind, or took care of a cripple that was unable to walk, and they left rejoicing. And I don't think this rich young ruler left rejoicing at all. He left pretty well puzzled by what he's going to hear. And today the message may be something that each of us need to hear and we need to remember. Maybe we have indeed trusted Christ as our Savior. And I'm hoping that everyone here has got that settled. But nevertheless, there's a need for serving and loving and being a part of the Lord's work, and we find that he was not that. So today's message is not one that has a happy ending, I don't think. But nevertheless, we're going to read it and study it and look at it and ask the Lord to bless our time together. So Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, if you can, would you please stand as we read God's Word together this morning. As he was setting out on a journey, a young man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack, go sell all that you possess and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owed much property. Wealthy young man. He was thinking more of the now than the eternal, like people do even today. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that so much, and you may be seated this morning once again. I'm going to just jump right in this with you this morning with three little thoughts that the Lord has given this week in study and preparation for this particular moment in time. I first note his determination. This young man came to Christ and he was determined to see him. Did you note with me as we read this morning that he came how? He came running, ran up to Jesus. Not only did he run, but when he gets to Jesus, he knelt before him. And then he cried out, "Good master," or "teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I think it was a fair question. The story is told in all three of the Gospels, three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as I mentioned a moment ago. It's interesting that there's a little bit of a different slant with each one. For example, Matthew talks about the fact that he was of his youth. And I think Matthew emphasizes that. And all three talk about the fact that he was wealthy. Luke says and talks about the fact that he was a religious man. And here in Mark, in Mark's gospel, we find Mark talking about all three of those things. The fact that he was young and rich and a religious individual. When I note some things with you very quickly about him that is mentioned in Scripture here. And one is that he was indeed young. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. The idea of coming to Christ at a young age is a wonderful thing to do, because you've got the rest of your life to live for Christ. And it's a life that will not be wasted, so to speak. And come when you're young. That's my admonition to you. Come when you can serve Him. Come when you can share His wonderful name. Come when you can tell others about the wonderful saving grace that He offers. So here He comes. He was young. The second thing I noted very quickly about this young man was that he was wealthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. He had plenty of this world's goods, and nothing wrong with that. But he didn't realize that those goods and that money and all the stuff that he had can fail, and eventually, without God, will falter and it will fail. But I also noted that he was young and wealthy. I even saw pretty quickly here that he was a moral man. Jesus mentions five of the Ten Commandments, and he quickly, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later in the message, but he quickly says, "Well, I've done all of those things. I've kept all of those. From my very youth, I've kept those commandments." So I think it would be fair to say not only was he a moral individual, maybe he was a religious individual as well. He kept the commandments. And Jesus never rebuked him for saying such a thing. Did you note that? Jesus said, "No, I mentioned five things here, but you've not kept three of the five. He didn't say that. So I'm kind of thinking he's doing pretty good on this, and I'll tell you why along the way here. So outwardly, the man appears to be moral and religious, and he has quite the position. It tells us that no doubt he's a young, rich young ruler. The people I read and study from believe that he might have been involved in the Sanhedrin already. And that's quite a deal, because maybe he was born into a family that allowed that. He had his wealth at a young age. But would you agree with me this morning that he seems to be the ideal young man? If you were looking for a young man for your daughter to marry, would he fit the bill? Young, well off, morally right, religious person, all the things that the world looks like makes it very attractive for a young person to be attracted. Maybe you would be pleased to offer your daughter in hand to marriage, in marriage to somebody like this. But I see one thing about him that is kind of the fly in the ointment here. He's got a problem. He's got a problem. The problem is nothing about what he had. It has nothing to do with who he was. He came to Christ because there was something in his heart and in his life that was not satisfied. Would you agree with that? He was looking for something. Kind of a hole in his life, a hole in his heart, if you will. Something was missing. And he comes running to Jesus. And he kneels before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Good master, what in the world do I need to do to inherit eternal life. I'll tell you, I just think about a guy like this and a situation like this, and I wouldn't be surprised that there are some maybe like him today that you need to come running to Christ this morning. You need to get things settled and right with God. You've been blessed. You're like this young man. You've been blessed with things of the world. Got a good job. I'm not saying you're wealthy, but I'm just saying you've been blessed, and that's a good thing. Got a good job. You've got a good reputation. People look at you, and when they do, they smile and they talk well of your life and things going on. But and here you are this morning. You're in church, and you lost an hour of sleep last night, and you're still here. Some are yawning and some are trying not to go to sleep, but I get all that. No problem. But there was something wrong with him. I'm hoping everything's right with you this morning, but it may not be that way, you see. Something may be missing in your life, just like something was missing in his life. So there's a determination here. But as he comes to Christ, I also, and I'm not trying to just pick this to death, but I think there's some deception as well. That's my second thought this morning. For he asked the question, what must I do? Indicating there's something that needs to be done to inherit eternal life. And if there's any confusion about all of this, let's think about this young man for just a moment and how he stacks up with people today, maybe even you. The first thing that I see concerning him under this deception is he came to the right person. Now, we're going to get to the deception later. But he came to the right person, did he not? It was Christ that he ran to. It was Jesus that he came to. No doubt he had heard about the ministry of Christ. No doubt that he had heard about someone that had said, I once was blind, but now I see. No doubt he had heard about someone that was crippled and now could jump and run and enjoy life or whatever. But I'll tell you something, he came. And he came to Jesus. He came to the right person. And I think he came in the right way. When he got to Jesus, what did he do? He knelt down, did he not? Nothing wrong with that. He knelt down. And maybe there was an urgency in his life. And maybe there's an urgency in your life. I need to do something this morning. I need to do it now before I get away from here. An urgency, you see. So he came to the right person. And he came to the right in the right way. And he came for the right purpose. Would you agree with that? What must I do to inherit eternal life? A seriousness about all of this. We're talking about eternal things here. There was something wrong. There was something, a need in his life that had not been met. And he felt that and he was dealing with that. And I'm going to say this also. I think he came at the right time. Maybe it was the only chance he had to be in the presence of Jesus. But he came when he was young. And he came to the right person. And he came with the right way, with the right purpose. And he came at the right time. And I'll tell you something, the Bible says that when God the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart and your life about something, you need to get that settled because he will not always strive with men. And I get that. I don't know that the Holy Spirit had directed him to come to Christ. I don't know if it's because something he had seen or heard about Christ. I don't know. But I know he came, and he came for some right reasons, but he will not leave the way that he needed to leave when he left in the presence of Jesus. There was a convicting power of the Holy Spirit that's got to be present in drawing someone into the family of God. And that always has to occur. He thinks salvation can be earned. Would you agree with me in that? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Is there some chore I can do? Is there something that I have not done? Is there something that I can do to inherit eternal life? Now, I've thought about that quite a lot. Nicodemus was before Christ, and he was telling him, you've got to be born again. We talked about that extensively last week. And here is a guy that is young, and he asked the question, and it's twofold. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, my thought is this. There's something that he thinks he needs to do, and that eternal life can be inherited. And here is a young man that is wealthy who possibly knows a lot about inheriting things. Not very many people that are young. They're either born with it or without it. But maybe he had inherited his wealth. Do you see what I'm saying? He knows about the inheritance. He knows about being in the right family. He knows about serving in the synagogue. Maybe he's even a part of the Sanhedrin. I don't know that. But he knew a lot about inheritance, and I get that, and I really believe that. He thought, what can I do that I might inherit, receive eternal life? What do you need to do? What was he confused about? If he was confused, it was about the fact that he could inherit it and that he had to work for it or do something in order to get it. What must I do? I'm not trying to overemphasize that, but I think it plays a vital part in understanding how this guy is going to leave. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not something that's inherited. It's not something that you can do to get. It's a gift from God. He's going to give it to you. He wants you to have it. It's a reward for the things that God will do for us because He's died on the cross. He was a moral man. He was a religious man. He was doing the things he thought he could do to inherit eternal life, but he didn't have it. And with all the external things he had, he did not have the internal things that he needed. That peace that comes by knowing Christ as his Savior. And I hope you've got that today. You need that. So here's our final thought this morning. And I know we're kind of rushing through. I'm not rushing, but we're just moving through this pretty quickly. But here's our final thought. I think there was a confrontation here as well. Just a bit. And I don't mean a tense one, but a confrontation as well. So Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? Now, and I'm not trying to overanalyze this morning. Why do you call me good? If this young man was a part of the Sanhedrin, like the commentators believe he was, is he saying you are good or you are better than the rabbis in the synagogue? Was he making that comparison? You are as good as anybody I've been around and maybe better than some. So why do you call me good? Why do you call me better? Are you calling me godly? There's only one that's pure and right and righteous, and that's the Father. But it's a strange question, it seems to me like. You're good. You're good. And Jesus says to him, no, there's only one that's good, and there's one that's righteous, and there's one that's holy, and there's one that's perfect, and there's only one that's pure, and that's the Father in heaven. And he's laying it out. And then he begins to do so. He begins to, verse 19, he says these words. And we're going back. I told you we'd come back to this. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Five of the Ten Commandments. Five of the commandments that deals with people dealing with other people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Five times. And Christ does not rebuke him for saying that. As a matter of fact, there's another one in the Scripture that said the same thing. Now, put your thinking cap on. There's another in the New Testament that said the same thing. Do you remember who it was? Is that not exactly what the Apostle Paul said concerning his life? Did he not say, I have kept all the commandments? Did he not say, I have not coveted? Oh, no. That's where he got caught. The last one. It was the last commandment when Paul read it and thought about it that said, it was the last one. I had kept all the rest of them, but I broke the tenth one. Therefore, I was what? I was guilty of every one of them. And Paul said, I could say the same thing. I've not committed adultery. I have not murdered anyone. I do not steal. I do not bear false witness. I have not defrauded anyone. I've honored my mother and my father. And he's got the same thing. But Paul was convicted about being a person with covet in his heart, coveting other things that people had. And he says, and I'm going to say it one more time, when he felt that, he realized he was guilty of every single one of them. And so was this young man. And Jesus confronts him concerning his person. And he says, only God is good. Only God is. And the young man was counting on the fact that he was rich and young and a ruler in order to get to heaven. I'm suspecting this. And if there's one more thing I've missed, I need that. What do I need to do to get that? And Jesus was nearby. He ran to him. And he says, I'd like eternal life. So what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus gave him a threefold commandment. Did you catch that or did you see it in our reading? He said, sell your possessions. You want to do something? You want to follow me? Sell your possessions. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, I get that's a lot. But that was the heart of the man, of this young, rich young ruler. His possessions, his position, his prestige in the temple, the Sanhedrin part of it, and follow me. And turn from who you are to what you need to be in following me. And it's somewhat like Paul said in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that was Paul's testimony concerning his conversion, you see. And it was a wonderful thing. And the rich young ruler here was given the opportunity to do the same thing. But he chose to walk away. It was a tragic moment in his life. Verse 22 tells us that when he heard these words, he was what? He was saddened at hearing the fact that he had to give his possessions up and that he had to walk away from them. He was forced to make a decision between the now and the eternal. And that's why he was. He chose the things now over the things that was eternal, not recognizing that riches can come and go, that prestige and power and position can sometimes come and go as well. And one day he'll give all that he could to be able to redo that moment, that time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was confronted by some people along the way, and it's mentioned in the book of Acts. And he's before Felix. Felix is the governor, and he's the highfalutin official. And Paul is giving him his testimony. And Felix basically said, Paul, come again some other time when it's a more convenient season. We'll sit down and we'll talk about this again. I think the guy, this rich young ruler, is thinking the same thing. I'll come again. I'm young right now. I'll come back when I'm a little older. I'll come back when I've done some things in the world that I've got my mind set on. I'll come back when things are better than they are right now as far as serving God. And Felix said to Paul, come again at a more convenient time. I'll live a little, I'll sin a little, I'll do a little, and we'll get back together, Paul, and we'll talk about it. But you read the Gospels, and I said it earlier at the very beginning, you read the Gospels, and he's not mentioned any place again in any of the four Gospels. No longer there. Evidently, he walked away and stayed away. Sad words, are they not? So we didn't read them, but the disciples who were listening to all the story here, this, between the conversation between the rich young ruler and Christ, in the following verses, the disciples said to Christ, "Well, what in the world do you have to do to be saved?" And Christ launches into some teaching concerning about the rich. And he says it's basically impossible for the rich to be saved. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know why that's true. I've got my suspicions, but I believe what he says here. If you enter, it will be because you have come to Christ, and you've knelt before Him, and you've accepted His plan of salvation into your heart and life. You're not keeping anything back. You come as the Scripture says, and you come like the hymn says. You come just as you are, and without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm wondering if you need to come this morning to the Master. A moment with the Master today. Here was a moment with the Master by a man we just know as a rich young ruler that probably stayed a rich young ruler and today is not in the presence of God in heaven. A moment with the Master. I think a tragic moment as well.